likes to do that.
Hey guys, welcome to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't sugarcoat, we tell the truth. Because the truth is, most people already know what they need to do. They just don't want to face it. They blame the past, they blame the pain, they blame everything that happened to them. And while some of that is real, at some point, you either take your life back or you stay stuck explaining why you haven't. And God did not create you to stay in survival mode forever. He gave you the power to choose differently. So today, we're not here to motivate you. We're here to disrupt you. Today's guest is Jaina K. Palmer. She's a speaker who doesn't just inspire change. She forces you to look at what's actually in the way. Jaina, take me to a moment where you had to stop blaming what happened to you and take your life back. What happened?
Oh goodness. I was always in denial, blaming everybody else for my finances. The job, the economy, or I wasn't taught correctly. And so I didn't take my medication like I was supposed to because I couldn't afford it at that time. I have hypothyroidism and I need a medication. I woke up one morning, sun shining bright. And I'm like, oh yes, like today is the day. I don't know why I felt so empowered. But I go to get up, nothing. I could not move my arms. I could not move my legs. I could not move at all. And I was like, okay, maybe I'm still dreaming, you know? And then like my heart started beating a little fast and I went to take a deep breath and I realized that I could barely breathe. And in that moment, God asked me, do you want to live or die? And I was stuck there having to make a decision. I couldn't scream out for help because I couldn't move. And I was like, I want to live. And the Holy Spirit was like, move now. And it took all the strength in me. And I was like, I'm jumping up, but I rolled flat on the floor, flat on my face. And so I dragged myself over to the mirror in the bathroom and I pulled myself up and I was like, you know what? If you don't like the truth, change. Because it's not about them, it's about me. And that was a real hard like moment because I could no longer blame anybody else and I had to look in the mirror and take full accountability that I don't like the way I'm living, I don't like how I'm taking care of myself. It's time to change, and nobody could do that for me. I had to do it for myself.
I think if you can recall at that time, like, what do you think you were really holding on to that kept you stuck? And what was the biggest lie that you were believing about yourself at the time?
The biggest thing that kept me stuck is just because I had always had a job, so I was listening to other people's voices. COVID, like, disrupted my life just like it did other people's. And right before I had moved, relocated to Kansas, I had to live with my dad and I was kind of thrown out by my mom. So my mom didn't even say anything. She just bought me a ticket and was like, go. And I was just in that little kid state, like, I'm not wanted. I can't take care of myself. Like, what is going on with me? So I had tried to harm myself in the past before. And so I was kind of like, you know, does it even matter if I'm really here, if I'm living this way? So I was listening to the lies of the voice inside my head that I created. It wasn't that my mom said anything, my dad said anything, but it was like I allowed the circumstances, like, okay, if I'm not working, then I'm not worthy. If I don't have savings, I wasn't meant to be here. If I can't afford my medication, apparently I'm meant to die. So it was just listening to those lies and staying stuck in them and not even facing like the desires or the realities of what I wanted to do or desire to do.
Yeah, that makes sense. You talked about that looking in the mirror and the taking the responsibility. I want you to speak to my audience today about what taking ownership actually looks like, not the idea or that Instagram curated version, but the reality of doing that.
For me, it was tapping into truth. I had to decide first, you know, did I actually want to live or die? I was given that question, do you want to live? And then, yes. And I had to own it. I had to identify that I didn't love myself at the time. I didn't understand what love truly was. I had to actually go out and research it. And I had to acknowledge it, not hide it. You know, I had to take ownership of, yeah, I fucked some shit up, you know, but this isn't who I am just because I did that in the past. This is who I desire to be. And I had to pivot from those negative thought patterns and start focusing on the truth of the reality of what it is that I want. Because the fact is that nobody's going to come and magically fix your life. And so many of us want to live in that gap, like, you know, well, if this person apologizes, if this person does this, if this person does that, but that's just not the way that it works. And so I always tell my daughters, if you don't like the truth, change. And that's what actually the truth was. I was just covering up shit, allowing the mask, putting it over, hiding it, not owning the fact that, yes, I wasn't taught financial responsibility. So, yes, I may have gotten myself in a hiccup, but that did not mean that's who I was. That didn't mean I have to stay that way. That didn't mean that I had to silence myself and hide.
Whose voice are you still listening to? That's something you ask. How do you suggest people really identify that? And what is it costing my listener to keep listening to that voice?
It is costing you your life, whether you realize it or not, because we overeat because of it. We continue to make wrong decisions because of it. It is costing you relationships because then you want to go hide and be in isolation. You don't want to do things because of how you feel about yourself. And those are hard truths, but you have to own it. And you may not even realize it's costing you your life, but it's showing up in your weight gain. It's showing up in your energy. It's showing up in the talks that you have. For me, it was just listening to everybody else's voice of all the negative trauma that I went through and just allowing their voices to replay in my head. And I had to start replacing that with the truth. For me, it came in the Word and the Bible. Those were the truths I started replacing because I didn't feel loved. I didn't feel wanted. So many people don't even really know what that means. You think it means transactional. You think that it means you have to do something. That's not what it means. Love does not break you down, it builds you up.
I very much agree with you, and that's been something that's been pivotal in the past 3 years of my life is getting into scripture, and it takes you to this position where it doesn't matter what anyone of the world says. Am I aligning? Like, Jesus Christ is the model. Am I following that? And part of that potential, like, you just think about the mission that he had to steward, and
Oof.
he knew it. Like, he knew the whole time he's walking around, and I couldn't imagine, you know, walking around and knowing that, you know, I'm gonna what's gonna happen to me. You know,
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine just having that knowing, and he just took on the mission. I think it's beautiful, and I think that is the first place I would tell people. Like, if you are struggling with that self love, if you are struggling with, you know, I think so many people are wanting to be accepted, and we find these labels and we find these groups so we can feel like we're a part of something, because we humans innately want to feel like they're a part of something, right? We want the
Yes.
diagnosis, we want the, like, we just have to have labels and answers for everything when it's all inside of you. And then if you really want to back that up, it's in the scripture. So I 100%, I think that is the best place to go, because humans are going to disappoint you all the time. But when you
Yeah.
realize that your love comes from the King, and it's a love that is like no other, like, you're unstoppable. Nobody could tell me anything anymore, because I'm like, yeah, no, you don't know who my father is. I
Right.
can and I will do this. And I mean, that comes with its own bag of stuff, right? Of just questioning, like, God, are you sure about me? That lie tries to come up in my head at least, you know, 3 times a day. God, are you sure about me? And, you know, he's like, can you just shut up and go? Like, just do
Yes.
your thing. Like, I can't deal
So
with this.
true.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I think that's the perfect place to go. Where do you see people in your interactions with life? Where do you see them hiding behind their past instead of moving forward? Where is it visible to you?
When the way one the way that they talk to other people,
Yeah.
because it's always I, like even when I teach my forgiveness class, people are they're like, oh, that person needs to do this, that person needs to do that, and how dare they have done
Right.
that? And it's like, okay, that part I understand, but what about you?
Yeah.
Like you said, at some point you've got to take accountability. And even if it may not be right, it doesn't mean that you turn around and get to treat somebody that way. Our society actually has that. Well, if this person does this, then you can do this. If this person says
Yeah.
this, you can do that. But all it creates is a cycle of brokenness. I heard a woman yelling at a 2-year-old, "You're putting your shoes on backwards. What do you think? Who do you think you are?"
Yeah.
They're two.
Yeah.
There too, when we live like that, we're putting false expectations
Yeah.
on other people that can't live up to it. I mean, you really expect a 2-year-old to always have their shoes on the right feet,
Yeah.
never put their clothes on backwards? Why are we teaching kids that that's a problem
Yeah.
instead of just allowing them to be who they are? Like, who cares if it's on backwards? There too, I reminded of that one group that wore their clothes backwards. It was my first concert, Crisscross, right? They wore
Oh,
their
that's taking me
and
back. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
it's like they put it on backward,
Yeah.
and it was like it was a style. So why is it, why are we put getting down on other people about that? And it's like those little things that you may not even realize that you're doing. Someone told me just denying your hunger because you're hungry and you don't have time. You're not giving yourself time to take care of yourself, take care of that little child inside of you
Yeah.
that needs that comforting or needs to be fed. What are we doing?
Yeah. No, I think that's some great awareness, and I think that's some tough love that the audience, that the listeners probably need to sit with. If you're worried more about what other people are doing, that's probably the data. That's the signal that you have a huge gap to fill within yourself, 'cause
Yes.
that's what happens. We see everything in everyone else before we see it in ourselves. And even little things like, my gosh, in my marriage, if I start to feel frustrated, I think, okay, well, this is happening, so what do I need to do about, like, what am I not bringing? If you notice something in someone else, most of the time you turn around, I fix it within myself. I'm like, oh, that's me, and that's why I'm noticing that. So I shift, and then like everything kind of calibrates around that shift. It's that self-awareness. And I feel
It is.
like if you guys are talking about them, you need probably need to look in the mirror.
Yes. And I actually found that out myself. I
Yeah.
used to talk, not even just talk about it, but just identify, I don't like this in somebody else. And then I would realize, like, oh, it's actually me that I'm not liking it in. And so how do I change me? And that can go for good qualities as well, for people that are so confident, when they overcome something and they talk about it, like, oh yeah, that's who I was. At one time, I was like, why are you always talking about that? And I realized I silenced that part. So how did you even know? And then it was like, oh, I want to be confident and I want to talk about it. And people have told me, don't say this about yourself. And I'm like, but why? Because it's no longer who I am. It's what I've grown from. So I'm going to talk about the attempted suicide. I'm going to talk about the bad relationship. I'm going to talk about my finances because that's not who I am anymore. It's what I've outgrown and growing from.
Jaina, that's the whole, epitome of this show, is that I want people to see that. I want people to see the suicide attempts. I want people to see how many times people get knocked down, because your story is what makes it possible for someone else. That transparency, just being able to be vulnerable, that's how people can connect. And when my listener hears your story, or when a listener comes on here and shares their story, which is the whole point of this, everybody has a story, and there's one person that needs to hear that. And every single person is given that gift to steward the mission of sharing their story for one person. So I think, that's why I do this, because I think taking the mess and letting people see that you made it your message, that's the power. that is how we become the change makers. That's how we make a difference. That's how we make the positive impact. That's how we get people to really see how incredible they are and live a life of potential. Imagine if everybody really just looked in the mirror today. If everybody just stopped and looked in the mirror and said, "How could I be a better person today? Like, what can I do? Who can I be? How can I show up in this space?" Just 1%, if we're all trying to be a better person, 1%, and we start with ourselves, like that's a huge impact. Why do you think people are still staying stuck in that comfort when they are so miserable?
It's unfortunate, but for me, because I can't know about somebody else 100%, but a part of me liked the pain. A part of me felt like because I wasn't living up to the expectations I thought I needed to do, that okay, it's okay to go ahead and beat yourself up, because it's like I started believing the lies of the trauma that had started. So when they said you're unworthy, and then going through with rejection, it was like, okay, maybe I am unworthy because then this person rejected me, this person rejected me. And eventually I just started rejecting myself and not even trying to do the things. And it's like that really hurt me. It didn't hurt them, you know. So saying you're unloved, you're unwanted from the ex that abused me started allowing me to do that for myself, to where I would like comfort, eat, and just shove food down. Well, if I'm not lovable, then I'll really make myself unlovable. So I'm not going to look in the mirror, you know, and I'm going to avoid that. And we don't say it out loud enough when we're listening to the lies. We always want to pretend it's okay, it's all right, but it's not. Because when you don't talk about it, when you can't pull down the mask, then you are continuously putting on another one. And eventually, I was like in this fat suit, like off of the movie Wizard of Oz or The Wiz, at the end, and they're pulling off the sweatsuits. I was looking in the mirror like, who is this woman? Like, I don't recognize you. This is not who you are. And it was with weight and with the pain and with just the lack of wanting to do anything. So I had tried to kill myself naturally, but even when I didn't die then, I was doing it without thinking in other ways.
The self-destruction,
Yes.
and that self-sabotage is a very slippery slope, and it becomes so automatic that it's not even a decision anymore. It's not intentional. You just wake up and you're automatically like, this is what you choose because it's kind of what you've told your brain is safe for you. Like, this is how we stay alive when your brain doesn't know. Is this really to kill you, right? It just gives us the data and we make the decision, and then it's like, well, we survived, so I guess we're safe. Let's keep doing that. What is that first step? You get up off the floor, you know you have a decision to make. What is kind of the series of steps you take in your healing to not be hiding anymore?
Take the acknowledgement. Acknowledge that you want more. You know, it's like the choice, do you want to live or die? So many of us say, of course I want to live. That's a silly question. But do you really want to live when you are in eating so much that you can't do anything? When you're hiding in the house and you don't want to talk to anybody, are you even exercising and trying to be healthy for yourself? And I'm not saying that you have to go on like the full rant, get a gym, but just walking every day, you know? And so for me, it was I took three steps that became my exercise routine. Three steps, not 3 miles, not three. I started with three steps. I acknowledged I needed help. I need help because I can't do this on my own. And humbling yourself. And that is hard to tell somebody, I need help, when they're always looking at you. You know, I remember my daughter's like, Mom, how dare you not tell us that you needed help with getting your medication? And it was like, because I was listening to the lies that my family had taught us, you shouldn't need help You're an adult. You should work. You should do this. And even though it was COVID that was keeping me out of work, I still took on all that responsibility. Like, it's just your fault, Jaina. It didn't matter that I had been laid off. It didn't matter that the whole country was going through. It was saying, okay, Jaina, you have to do it all by yourself. Don't tell anybody. Don't talk to anybody. And so the first thing you need to do is open your mouth and say, I need help. The second thing you need to do is say, shit, is this how I really been living? Is this what I was really thinking? Because then you've got to acknowledge it. And then the third is make that decision. Do you want to continue on this path, or are you going to go this way? Because you are at a fork and you're either going to go right or left, and there is no other option.
Exactly. Yeah, I love that. And I feel like what happens too with people is that, I mean, I feel like God gives us a lot of chances, probably more than we deserve. But at some point, he gets so tuned out that there's going to be a big event. Like I always say, if you're not on your knees, he's going to bring you to your knees. One way or another, he's going to get you where he wants you. And so many people wait for that big event. You know, especially when it comes to like weight or stewarding their health, they wait for the big scare, like the heart attack or, you know, whatever that is. And those messages are coming through every single day. Like there's a little nudge and you know that. What would be your advice for people to really tune into that nudge today? You know, that maybe a self-awareness checklist, something they could just tune into to say, like, can I hear this now and move rather than just continuing to ignore the little nudge and wait for that big event?
You have to pause. Pause and listen to yourself. For me, I can never sit still. Even in my own home, I would not sit still. I'd be like, oh, let's do this, let's do that, let's do that. So you have to pause and just learn to breathe and listen to yourself. Start with 3 seconds. And we think, oh, that doesn't matter. But do you know how long? 3 seconds, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, when you're stuck in your pain, can be you feel like it's 3 hours, 4 hours. You have to slow down. And I never thought about it until I had someone over at my house and they were like, dude, you're at home and you invited me over. Why are you not sitting down?
Right.
And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I'm comfortable. Let me go over here. Let me go there. Let me go over here. I realized that I was not comfortable with myself. It had nothing to do with anybody else. It was me. And I think that's the hardest thing because we're so used to blaming other people for what happened to us or our actions. You have to sit down and take a breath. That is number one.
I think that is great advice. What is, Jaina, if everything works out for you this year, what is the big message that you would want people to know you for?
Whose voice are you listening to? Are you listening to the voice of the little girl that was stuck in the trauma? Are you listening to the voice of mom and dad who had the false expectations of you? Are you listening to the voice of your peers? Or are you listening to the voice of God? Because there is a huge difference on who you're listening to.
I love that. What is, I know the change and the process you went through. I know that's scary. Like all of that's scary. But fear is a part of our growth, right? Like being afraid and then being brave enough to do it anyway. What is the next big thing you're working on that scares the shit out of you?
Oh, speaking on the big stages, it is scary because you have to continuously own. When God first told me to speak, I thought it would be like one time, that's it. You say this once and you're done. You don't have to do anything else. But to continuously have to put yourself in that vulnerable state, in the memory, and own your truth, That is scary. So I'm writing a book and it's called Out of the Cave. And it's scary because that's where all the voices that I heard, that you heard echoing through, it's going to come out like, wow. Like, you think you she was talking about two voices? No, she was talking about like 20 voices inside of her head.
Right. I love that. What a beautiful journey, though. I mean, there's so much vulnerability that goes into that, and I'd love to support you on that journey because it is a journey, I will tell you. Getting your book out there, getting published, like you pretty much just rip all your clothes off in front of the whole world and stand there, and that's what it feels like.
Yes.
That's one of the big lies, right? If it's terrifying but beautiful, and it's just a great experience. How can people follow you? How can they get resourced to make sure they can get updates when the book is live and to be able to just follow you, resourced with you?
My most platform that I use is Facebook, and it's By Faith Jaina K on Facebook. That's the link. Say, or just look me up, Jaina K Palmer. That is the primary source. I'm also on LinkedIn as well. So those are the two main sources to be able to find me.
Perfect. Jaina, this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just that you tell the truth, it's that you don't let people hide from it. You don't coddle, you don't soften it, you don't let people stay in the story that's keeping them stuck. You call it out and you call them forward. And somehow you make people feel powerful enough to actually do something about it. I think that is beautiful. It is much needed in this world. I think it's rare, and I think it makes you incredibly special. There is just this incredible relatability to you, where I could feel like people are going to magnetize because you are real. You're telling people exactly what it is. You're being vulnerable with the fact that you've been there, you've been in the experience. To everyone listening, you guys, you already know. You know what needs to change. You know what you've been avoiding. You know what you've been making excuses for. And so the question isn't what's next. The question is, are you going to do it? It's a choice, right? Like, is it the live or die? God didn't create you to stay in cycles that you recognize. He gave you authority over your life to be honest and to be bold. And please remember, you guys, your mess is your message. Even the patterns, even the excuses, okay? Even the truth you didn't want to face. That's exactly what Jaina did. She took all of that and she launched that into her message so she could help you and be here speaking life into you today. That is where your breakthrough is. If this episode spoke to you, please share it out. There is someone that Jaina needs to get access to that she couldn't without your help. So don't be selfish, you guys. Just share it out with someone who needs it. If you're ready for the hot seat, you guys, you know the deal. Come tell me why you're special. Jaina, this was awesome. Thank you for speaking life into my show. This is. You define why I'm sitting here today and why I'm putting this out for people. You definitely captured what I want today. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for giving me the time. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And thank you for the advice because I started listening to some of your shows
Oh,
and I even
cool.
unfollowed five groups like you had suggested in one of
Girl, I
the
love that so much. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.